All right, Daf Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Let's begin again towards the bottom. About five lines from the very bottom. Okay, we're getting on to a new topic, the topic of a dying man again. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Shchiv Merah, a dying man, Shehikdish Kol Nechasav, who the last things he's doing is that he says, everything I own is consecrated, everything I own is Hekdish. And said, oh, but by the way, there's some things I don't own that are in the house. He says, there's 100 coins in my house that you thought was made Hekdish. It wasn't made Hekdish because it wasn't mine. It was belonged to somebody else. Then he dies. So Naaman, we trust him. We give that 100 to that other person. We don't think that he lied. What, a person's going to lie to take away that which belongs to Hekdish right before he dies? Chazaka ain't the most knunyal Hekdish. We have a chazaka. A person's not going to lie to illegitimately get money away from the divine trust. Maskefler of Nachman, Rav Nachman, challenge this. Do you think that a person is going to be dishonest to take away assets from his children? Of course not. And yet, Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, but yet Rav Shmuel, we both said, a dying man who says 100 coins that I have belong to so and so and they're in my hand. So it depends. Amar Tnu, if he said and give them to so and so, then knows to me, give it to so and so. But lo Amar Tnu, but if he didn't say give it to so and so, he just said that so and so owns 100 coins of mine. Ain't no snim, we're not giving. Why? Why aren't we giving? Alma, because we assume that Adamasi Shalas Bias Banav. He just didn't want his children to appear to be wealthy. Because if people think that the children are wealthy, so then there'll be Ayin Hara against them. So he said, part of my money is not really mine, it's somebody else's, but that doesn't really mean that it belongs to those other people. So if that's the case, Sahachanami, so why don't we say the same thing with Hekdesh? Adam Asui Shalolas Bias Atzmo. He doesn't want people to think that he's wealthy. No, now about himself. He doesn't want people to think that he himself is wealthy. So really, these assets did belong to him. And when he said it's Hekdesh, it really did become Hekdesh. But he said out of his assets, 100 are not really his, they belong to somebody else. Because what's the halach of any gift of a Shchiv Merah? If he recovers, he gets it back. So he's concerned if he's going to recover and get all his assets back, people are going to think he's rich. So therefore he says, no, listen, out of what I have, 100 doesn't even belong to me. So it's to reduce the way people will think of him. But why do you say it really means that that other person owns the 100? Answers the Gemara, Ki kam Rav Huna hasam. When did Rav Huna say this in regards to Hekdesh, that if he says, I'm giving everything to Hekdesh, but then he turns around, but 100 of what I have is not really mine, it belongs to somebody, is Dinakit Shtara. That's where he has actually a document saying that it belonged to somebody else. And he's validated that document before he died.
But Rabbi, he's giving up all these assets to the Hekdesh,
right.
So shouldn't they respect him and at least, you know...
No, but after he said that, he then said that $100 that are in his house are not really his, they belong to the friend. And the friend shows up after he dies with a document saying, I lent Zev $100.
And if he doesn't show up?
No, you're only if he has a document now. Now we're saying it's only when he has a document.
Okay, that's document. What difference does it make to Shkibble, right? Like, isn't he entitled to the stuff anyway?
He is entitled. We're saying that even though the man said before, all of my assets are going to Hekdesh, since there's a document and he later validates the document, so now we trust it. We don't say here, oh, we can't trust his words. So the Gemara now asks, Michlal, so that means that in the case of Rav and Shmuel, that when a man admitted that he owes money to somebody else, but he didn't say give to somebody else, is that a case to Lo Nakit Shtara, where he's not holding a document? So if the guy against him is not holding a document, so Amar Tnu Nosnim, and then if he says, but I owe the money, then we do give it. Why? Milval Pehava. If that guy doesn't have a document, it's an oral loan. right? There's no document. So it's just an oral loan. So I understand. Rav and Shmuel, Amitar, Vaibon, Rav and Shmuel both say, Mil Val Peno, go for Loman, Amit Yorshin, Veloman, Alakuchos, and an oral loan is not collected from heirs. And it's not collected from people who bought land. Oh, so Gabriel, I think, would like to call in also.
Yoel, my love. Yoel, my love. Baruch, after the shiur, we're going to pay. Don't worry. Yeah, give me papers, okay.
Okay, great. So again, we're dealing with this issue where Rav Huna had said that a dying man who gives away all of his possessions to Hekdesh. So we thought that meant everything in his house goes to Hekdesh. And then he said, but you know, whatever is in my house, he said, what's in my house, not everything is going to Hekdesh, because part of what's in my house is not really mine. 100 of what's in my house belongs to somebody else. So Gemara says, we believe him. All right, he dies, we give that 100 to that other person. Ask Gemara, why? We know that if a man says, he's dying man, that means his assets are going to his children, and he says that 100 of what's in my house belongs to somebody else, we don't give it to that other person. Only if he said 100 of what's in my house belongs to somebody else and give it to somebody else, do we give it to the other person. Why? Because we say, he said 100 in my house belongs to somebody else just because he doesn't want people to think that he's so wealthy. But he really was wealthy. So why don't you say the same thing here? He says 100 that's in my house is going to doesn't go to Hekdesh. It belongs to somebody else. It's just because he doesn't want people to think that he's so wealthy. What do you mean he's so wealthy? It's giving away to Hekdesh. Well, if he recovers, it's going to come back to him. So he doesn't want people to think he's so wealthy. Maybe that's what's going on. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. People will say that things that are theirs are really not theirs just because they don't want people to think that they're wealthy. But the reason why, if a person who's dying says, all of my assets go to Hekdesh, and then a day later he's still, you know, dying, he says, well, no, really 100 belongs to Reuven. The reason why we're going to give it to Reuven is when Reuven actually has a document saying that he's entitled to that 100. So the Gemara says, yeah, if it's a document, so then you're telling me that in the case of Rav and Shmuel, that where he said just stum, he's a dying man, he says 100 of what I have belongs to Reuven. We don't give it to Reuven because he didn't say give to Reuven. It's when there's no document. All right, that means that when he says give to Reuven, there is a document. I'm sorry, when he says give to Reuven, there's also no document. He just said give to Reuven. So if he just said give to Reuven, it's an oral loan the children don't have to pay. Ela Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, you know what I have to tell you? Idi v'idi d'nakit shtara. Both the case that we began with today, the case of Rav Huna, a dying man who gave everything to the temple trust, and then he turns around and says, but, you know, you thought everything in my house goes to the temple trust. $100 that are sitting here is not even mine, it belongs to Reuven. It's when Reuven then shows up with a document saying he's entitled to that 100. And the case of Rav and Shmuel, where a dying man said 100 of what I have belongs to Reuven, is also where a man shows up with a document. So if they're both the case where a man showed up with a document, why in Rav and Shmuel did they say that the dying man has to say tnu, give? And if he didn't say give, he wouldn't give. There's a document for that person. Oh, well, Okash, it's not a contradiction. Hadamakuyam, hadalomakuyam. In the case of Rav and Shmuel, the man showed up with a document that wasn't validated. In the case of Rav Huna, with the consecration, Reuven shows up with a document that's validated. So if Reuven shows up with a document that's validated, so then a dying man who said, first, all of my assets go to the temple. Then he says, 100 of my assets belong to Reuven. And then Reuven shows up with a validated document. So, okay, so Reuven will collect. But when Rav and Shmuel say that a dying man who says, stam, just says, 100 of my assets aren't mine, they're not going to my kids, they belong to Reuven, then Reuven shows up with a document that's not validated. So since it wasn't validated, Amar Tnu, if the dying man said, 100 of my assets are really not mine, they're really Reuven's, and give it to Reuven, That's kiyame l'shtare. That's the validating of the document that Reuven has, then Reuven can collect it. Lo amartnu, but if he didn't say give it, so lo kiyame l'shtare. So then he hasn't validated the document. So since he didn't validate the document, Reuven's document is worthless because it's not validated. And he said that the 100 is not mine just to make it appear that his kids aren't as wealthy as they are. Because if he really meant that the 100 isn't his and it goes to Reuven, he would have said, and give it to Reuven. He wouldn't have just said the 100 isn't mine. He would have said, and give it to Reuven.
Rabbi, I'm sorry. How about if a dying man gives all his money to temple trust,
right,
and then he dies? Okay. Somebody comes with a document, good, real document,
yes,
that this guy owe me $100.
Good,
so
right.
So temple trust is going to give the 100 or no?
Yes, if it's validated, yeah.
Even though the dying man didn't say that, I
would think
money.
So. That's right. I would think so.
Thank you. Who are you?
Yeah. So this is Tosfos asks your question. Look at the Tosfos. Tosfos says, "I don't understand. If a guy's got a validated document, so of course the dying man is believed. Right? I mean, the other man's got a validated document. What do we even need him for? He's got a document. That's enough to work. And why is it only temple trust? Why only a dying man?" So Tosfos explains like this. That if he would show up only with a document, we would have made him swear. But now that he was a dying man who said also...
If he doesn't come with a document, you make him swear.
No. If he comes with a document...
Then you make him swear also.
He would have to swear if there was... If your case, he would the man with the document would have to swear. But that's what was added here, that since he was a dying man, and before he died, he said, and he validated, he added to the validated document, now there's no need to swear.
I'm sorry, the Mordechai case, if all give to Hegdesh, and there's no more money, is the Hegdesh going to give this $100 back?
Yeah.
The Hegdesh.
It was never, what is it that it was never Hegdesh?
Yeah, he couldn't have given it to Hektish because it wasn't his to give away.
The man forgot to say that.
That's why
he owed
the money back.
But the guy comes with the document.
You're Tosfot. You're Tosfot, Mordechai.
Mordechai is Tosfot.
Wake up, Mr. Atta.
Not Atta.
Rahamim. Rahamim, wake up. Give kavod.
See, everybody thinks you're Persian, but really you're French.
Oh, you see. Comment allez-vous?
Now we're going to suffer because of it.
I'm a rabba. Rabba taught. Shchiv mara, dying man. Shamar mana l'ploni biyadi, who says that 100 that I have belongs to Reuven. And then he dies. Amru Yisomin, and the orphans say, Paranu, we gave that 100 to Reuven. Ne'emanim, they are believed. But if he said, Tnumane l'ploni, give 100 to so-and-so, from Yisomin, Paranu, and the orphan says, we gave it, ein ne'emanim, they're not believed. So Mara says, it makes no sense. Klape layo, where is this going to? Ipcha mistabra, the exact opposite is what makes sense. Amar tnumane, if the father says, give 100 to Reuven, kivan the paskavun lemilsa, since the father said something very clear and precise and direct, give 100 to Reuven. Ikulameh the parrot, so maybe the son, maybe they paid to Reuven. That makes sense if they said they paid. But mana l'plona biyadi, but a person who just says, Reuven has 100 that I owe him. Kivan lo pasak avuon l'milsa. Since the father didn't say things so precisely, he just said, I have to call back. Paul. Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, I got disconnected. So again, if the father says, give 100 to so-and-so, then it would make sense that the children did it. But if all the father said was, mana l'ploni biyadi, so-and-so has 100 in my hands. Kevan lo pasak avu on the milsa, the father didn't say it in a very precise way. Ikulameimar delo pare. So then we should say that maybe they didn't pay it off. They're not believed when they say they paid it off. The father didn't give them such precise instructions. So Gemara says, Elohi itmar, so if something was said, hachi itmar, this is what was said. Shchiv Mirasha Amar, a dying man who says Mana Leploni Biyadi. Reuven has 100 in my domain. And he didn't say give to him. But then the orphan said, Chazav Armalanu Abba, then father told us before he died, Parati, I paid that loan to so and so. Ne'amanim.
Are you to me?
So they are believed when they say that the father said he paid. My time, oh why? Because since he said so and so has 100, we're saying that basically that he's not sure. So he says, so and so has 100 here. And then it kure mitkar. Then he remembered, but you know what? I paid off that 100. But if he says tenumana leploni, if he says to his children, give 100 to so and so. When? And then he dies. Amri Yisom, but the orphans are claiming. The Chazav Amar Abba Parati, after father said, give to so and so, he then actually paid it off. Einem manim, they're not believed. Demisa de Pare, because if it's true that he paid them off, he never would have said give, right? To give, if he says give 100 to so and so, that means he's sure that he owes. He's saying something very strong. So if he's saying something very strong, we don't think that later he changed his mind. If he said so and so has 100 here, that's not so clear. Then they're going to claim that he later said, but I paid it off. Fine, that could be. He wasn't sure. And then he realized he did pay it off. But if he says originally, give it to so-and-so, because I owe it to him, that means he's sure that he didn't pay. But later he became sure he did pay. That doesn't make sense.
Anyhow, the guy has to come up with the documents. So it doesn't matter, right?
For sure. But
now, Baruch.
Why? No, if he admitted... Oh, you mean he has to have a document, but his admitting is his admitting is what validates the document.
Correct. But either he changed his mind or whether the guy Reuben has to come up with documents to get 100.
Reuben has a document, but if the man when he was dying said Reuben has 100 in my domain, that was all we know he said. Now orphans are saying that he said further. He said he paid off Reuben. So even though Reuben has a document. But it's not a validated document. He didn't say the word give, right? The word give is what validates the document. So we could believe the orphans. It's a reasonable claim.
The orphan can lie.
One second, Baruch has the question.
But Rabbi, if he says the $100 now, give it to Reuben as a gift.
That's not the case.
So Reuben doesn't have to come up with anything, just as a
gift.
That's right. Now how about if 20 Reuben show up? You know, all of a sudden...
You have to go up in the generations. Reuben, son of who? Identify.
I want to recommend we have to have two daf yomi, one for the Parsim, one from the other, because we cannot deal with them.
No, we keep the Parsim.
They're too smart.
No, we put the Parsim on the side and we give it to the Syrian.
David, what's the question?
He'll give it to me back.
That's right. So now, Bayi Rava, Rav had a question. Shchiv Mara, if you have a dying man, Shahoda. Let's say a dying man, Reuven comes to the dying man and says, you owe me 100. And the dying man admits, yes, I do owe you. So Ma, what's the law? Do you also need that the dying man say, and you're the witnesses, you saw me admit? Because otherwise we say maybe he was just playing around. Maybe a dying man doesn't have to say, you are my witnesses. Another question about a dying man. If he admits that he owes money in front of two witnesses, does he have to tell them and write it down? So that it's going to really obligate me. Or ain't tzarech lomar ksovu. It doesn't have to tell them and write it down. In other words, we know generally when a person admits, he has to say, you are my witnesses, because otherwise maybe he's mishata. Maybe he's just, you know, pulling somebody's leg. So our question here is, adam mishata b'shas nisa, do people pull the leg of somebody else when they're dying? Maybe when they're dying, they're so serious. They know they're going to the next world. They're not going to now admit to something that's not true. So, then after he asked the question, he resolved it. There's no question that when a person is dying, he's serious. He's not going to admit to something that's not true. If he admitted that he owes. He doesn't have to tell the witnesses and you be the witnesses. And in terms of, does he have to tell people to go write it down? Also not. The words of a dying man are the equivalent of a document written, signed, and completed. If he says, give to so-and-so, or I owe to so-and-so, that's it. That's already 100%. And we can write it without his approval. We're sure that he meant it 100%.
Rabbi, here doesn't talk about nothing about the time limit. So, if Reuben, the dying man owes money to Reuben, he dies, and Reuben is not around. So, he has 3 years to come back for the money, or 7 years, or any time.
Any time.
If he didn't do...
He has whenever. If he's owed money, he's owed money. Or, I mean, maybe Shemitah could knock it out.
Shemitah can keep.
Hamalves chaveiro b'shtar. Let's say a person lent money to his friend, and the loan was written in a document. So gove min hachasim eshubadim. The lender can collect the amount that's owed to him from assets, even assets that were sold. So let's say the borrower sold fields after he borrowed. The buyers of the fields will lose the fields for the loan. Now he can do this. Now, this is true if it was a loan that's in a document. However, al yidei edim, but a loan that's just in front of witnesses, an oral loan, without a document, gofim minachasim b'nei chorin, the lender can collect from the assets that are in the hands of the borrower, but not the assets that the borrower sold off.
Rabbi,
what's that?
I thought we learned that in a case of this lien against a piece of property, but that we learned that property is sort of a public, a sale of a property is a sort of a public event. The lender should know about it,
right.
And that he has to come and protest that he has a lien against that property.
No, he doesn't need a protest. We say that if there is a sale of, if there was a loan in a document. So a loan in a document is a public event. Everybody talks about it. There's a call. And since there's a lot of talk about the loan in the document, the buyer knew that he was getting land that had liens on it, and he took the risk. But if there's no document, so then it's not as well known, and then we wouldn't say that.
So the onus is on the buyer.
Yeah.
If the loan giving after I sold the property, it's not affecting this.
Correct. That's correct. Now, hotzia lav ksav yado shu chayev lo. Let's say the lender doesn't have a loan document. He has a note from the borrower. The borrower wrote on a parchment and he signed his name that he owes the money. So then go v'm inichasim b'nei chorin. So again, without witnesses signed on it, it's not, you know, well known, and since it's not well known, he can't collect from people who bought property from the borrower. He can only collect from the borrower himself. So now, arev, if a person is a guarantor, ayotzi li'achar chisum shtaros, that he writes his obligation of being a guarantor after the witnesses signed on the document. So that means that the witnesses are not validating his being a guarantor. Here's the document. Zev borrowed from Reuven. The witnesses signed. Underneath it, we have David guaranteeing Zev's loan. Okay? So David is basically guaranteeing with his own signature. So that's it's not witnesses. So then go from Inachasta B'nei Chorin. So then the lender, the Reuven in this case, can collect from assets that are in the hands of the guarantor, but not assets that the guarantor sold off. Because the assets that the guarantor sold off, the buyers didn't know that there was a guarantor here, because there weren't witnesses signed on him being a guarantor. Now, the truth is, this law is not so clear. Not everybody agrees to it. Maisa, there was a story, there was a loan document with witnesses on the bottom of the loan. And after the witnesses, there was a guarantor, Shimon, who wrote that he's guaranteeing the loan. Ubalif Neir Bishmal, it came to Bishmal, Lamar Govim in a chasim nechorin. If the lender now wants to collect from Shimon, he can only collect from the assets that Shimon has. Amalo Benanas, Benanas said no. Eino Gov, Velo min a chasim shubadim, Velo min a chasim nechorin. Benanas says if that's what's going on, he's not entitled even to collect from the assets in the hands of Shimon. Amar lo, Rabbi Shmuel said to Benanas, Lama, why? But he signed his own name. Amar lo, so Benanas answered, Hare, achonek es echad bashuk. Think about the following. Let's say you go into the market and you see somebody choking somebody else. What's going on? What's going on is that this guy lent money to that somebody else, and that somebody else is not paying back. See, he wants his money back, so he's choking him. Umetzol chaveiro, and you find him. Amar lo, and you tell the guy who's the aggressor, who's choking your friend, listen, hanachlo, let him go. Ani etzi lecha, I'll pay it. Are you going to say that you who said that are really obligated?
Didn't really mean
Potter, of course you're obligated. You're exempt. Shalo ala munaso hilveyu, because the loan didn't happen based on your untrusting you. Let's go back to what we learned. What's the whole idea of an arev? Why is a guarantor responsible? Guarantor shouldn't be responsible. It's just words. Why should he have to pay because of his words? The answer is that if his words are so powerful that they cause a loan to happen, there's such a deep pleasure, so therefore he becomes obligated. But here the loan didn't happen because of me. The loan happened already. I'm just saving the guy's life by stepping in. So I'm not obligated. So therefore, Benana says, "Ela'ezuhu arev shu chayev." What is the only case of a guarantor who's obligated? If the guarantor is making the loan happen, halveyu vanino sin lecha. Lend him money, and I will give you money. Then chayev. Then the guarantor is obligated. Shekein ala munaso hilvau, because then the lender was relying on him to lend, but if the guarantor comes after the loan happened, the guarantor is not obligated. So he says, what do you say if there's a guarantor after the witnesses, we're not going to collect from the assets that the guarantor sold off? No, we can't collect anything from the guarantor. Because since he comes after the loan, he never was obligated at all. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel heard the words of Benanas, he told us a very important point. If you want to become wise, you should learn these mesechtos, monetary law, bava kama, bava metzia, bava basra, because these things require a lot of thought. There's no part of Torah, there's no corner of Torah more challenging. They're like a spring that's producing more. You have to keep thinking about it. Like, why is an arev obligated? Oh, because he promised. Because based on his words, people listened. So it's only when his words made it happen. If you want to be involved in dinei mamonos, you should be around Shimon ben Anas. You should learn from him because he has great ideas. He really makes it very rigorous. He makes the thought rigorous, even though, in fact, halacha is not like Shimon ben Anas in this case. But the logic of Shimon ben Anas is fantastic. The logic of Shimon ben Anas is that an arev is only responsible when, because of him, the loan happened, but not if the loan already happened and then he added his name to be responsible. Yeah, David, a question.
Didn't we say that the guarantor
is the smarta? Right. Correct, but then we said that it's not asmachta because of the deep pleasure that he gets in the fact that he's listened to. The hana'a that he gets, that the lender lent because of his guarantee, makes it a non-asmachta. But you're right, it should have been asmachta, but because he gets such deep pleasure that the lender was listening to him and carrying out his requests, that makes it not an asmachta. One second, Rachman had a question.
It's a deeper pleasure to be the big shot to break up someone from killing someone else. So it's a tremendous pleasure. It's much more than saying, oh, you know, I'm going to help someone to give him some money.
Yeah, but maybe it's just the mitzvah.
On the other side, it's also a neder. At that point, the man is making a neder willingly. that I'm going to give it back.
Apparently, listen, you want to help this guy to do a mitzvah, right? You want him, you want to stop him from killing. You want to save his neshama.
Go around saying everything every day. Okay, I'm going to do this to help this guy to do a mitzvah and then back out.
No, but it depends what you meant.
But Rabbi, is it a neder if he doesn't say Hashem name in it, in the phrase that he tell him, okay, don't kill him, I give you the money. He didn't say Hashem name, he just said I give you the money.
Maybe it's a...
It's not a neder.
Good, but maybe neder mitzvah, right? Maybe it's a...
Because you don't know how much money is involved. Maybe it's hundreds and thousands of dollars involved.
But
Rabbi John Gotti goes after the guy tomorrow. You put your neck on the line now. Come here.
Be careful. The case is really very... In the Nas, the guy that in the shoe tried to be Matzil Nefesh from Israel.
Israeli mafia.
He said just to, you know, leave him alone. I'll pay. He didn't think he was... in mind, he would not pay him. But if he said, Kavanah L'Shalem, still he doesn't have to be Meshalem.
That's what it sounds like. All right, Amar Ula said, Dvar Torah, the biblical law, Echad Milva B'Shtar alone, that's in a document, the Echad Milva Alpeh, or an oral loan, government, Achas Meshubadim, the lender can collect from the assets that have already been sold off to buyers. My time, why is this so? Shibuda Doraisa. When a person borrows, biblically, all of his assets get a lien on them. Therefore, if the borrower sold them or gave them away, the lender can still take them. However, ve'ala matam amru, but why do we have the law of our Mishnah that mil valpeinu govel minchasim b'nei chorin, that a loan that's oral? You can only collect from assets that have not yet been sold off. Mishum seda delekuchos, because we have to feel bad for borrowers, right? Borrowers didn't know that they were buying a field from a person who has loans and who has liens. So because it wasn't written in a document, they didn't know. So if they didn't know, we have to protect them. And therefore, we only allow the lender to collect from the assets that are still in the hands of the borrower and not the assets that he sold to buyers. So Gemara asks, if we're worried about buyers, milva bishtar nami. So if the loan was in a document also, let's not collect from the assets that were sold to buyers. So the Gemara answer, no. Hasam, if there was a loan in a document, inu ninu dafsidu anafshayu, the buyers have harmed themselves. Because if there's a loan document, it becomes very famous that this guy is in debt. Because a loan document is famous. So if everybody knew that the guy was in debt, and these people who bought from him knew he was in debt, so they took the risk. They knew they could lose it. However, a loan document, that's a loan that's oral, it doesn't have a document, people don't know about it. So then we have to protect the buyers, because the buyers didn't know any better. So it wouldn't be fair to take away the assets from them.
So Robert, we don't believe in segregation of assets, like collateralized one assets, it's everything.
Yes.
We don't
everything gets collateralized automatically.
So really, if a borrower is selling off a piece of assets, then the lender, where does he go first? Does he go after the seller, or does he go after the buyer?
First he goes to the seller. But if there's nothing there, he could even go to the buyer. So this is the view of Ula. The Rabbah, but Rabbah says, Dvar Torah biblically, Echad milva b'shtar ve'echad milva alpeh. On the biblical level, whether it's a loan in a document or a loan that doesn't have a document, the lender can only go after the borrower and the assets that the borrower has, not the assets that the borrower sold. My time, why? Shibud alav doraisa. Biblically, assets do not become obligated. Umatam amru, but why did the sages say, Milva Bishtar Govamin Achasim Meshubadim, that if there was a loan in a document, then we can collect from the assets that were sold off from the buyers, Kadesh Lotinol Delis Bifnei Lovin, in order to encourage loans? In other words, if a lender thinks that when I lend money, I may not get it because the borrower might sell off his assets, he's not going to lend because he's going to say, you know, I'm never going to get anything back.
So the sages wanted to keep the debt markets open. They wanted to encourage markets to be working. So therefore they said that, you know what, sometimes you'll be able to get your money back even from a buyer if it was done in a document. So Gemara said, well, if that's the point, we want to encourage lending, then we should say that you can the lender should be able to collect assets from the buyers, from the borrower, even in a loan that wasn't in a document, because we want to keep the lending happening. So Gemara says, no, hasa, when again, when it wasn't on a piece of paper, less lekala. So no one's going to know about it, right? If you don't have a contract, people don't know about it. So if people, what's that? No, great. If you don't have a contract, so people don't know about it. So we want, on the one hand, help borrowers. To help borrowers and enable them to borrow, we want to say that even after they sell the assets could be taken by the lender. On the other hand, we don't want to harm buyers. If a buyer couldn't know any better, so we have to protect them. We have to protect unsuspecting buyers. So therefore, if it's a document that has the loan, so if the document has the loan, so then we can... the buyer knew, so he was forewarned. But if it's not a loan in a document, if it's a loan that's oral, so the buyer didn't know, so we have to protect him. So therefore, we're not going to say that the lender could collect.
If it's shibud midaraisa, the rabbanon have the power to negate it. Is it hefker bez and hefker?
Yeah, hefker bez and hefker. That's right.
So they can negate the raisa then?
Yes. That's right. That's right.
Rabbi, the loan happens before the sale or after the sale?
The loan always happens before the sale.
Before the sale?
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah.
So the buyer who bought it should have known about it. Is that right?
Should correct. Check. But that's what we're saying, that there's a difference between a loan that's written where he could have, where he probably did know about it. Yeah. Versus a loan that's oral with witnesses, how is he going to know?
I understand, but how about if it's not publicized? You know, the sale.
The contracts, apparently, it's such a big deal, it's assumed that there is a call, that there are rumors about it.
So all of a sudden, the buyer who bought that is in the picture, and he is responsible to pay back.
He's going to lose his field.
He's going to lose
the field that he bought. That's right, because it's going to the loan.
Also,
so now the Gemara asks on this question of Shibuda Doraisa. Mi Amar Rabba Hachi. Did Rabba say that Shibuda is not Doraisa? Amar Rabba. But Rabba said earlier that if a father dies and he had lent money, so do the sons get... Does the Bechor get a double portion in what's collected? So Gavu Karka, if what they collect is land, Yeshlo, the Bechor gets a double portion, because even when father was alive, there was a lien on the land, and since there was a lien, it's considered Muchzak, it's not considered Ra'ui, it's considered something in the hands of father. But Gavu Mos, if they collect cash after father dies of the loan that father had lent, Ein lo, the Bechor doesn't get a double portion because the cash had never been in the hands of father. So what do you see? That Shibuda Doraisa, that there is a biblical lien on property, wherever there's a loan. The Chitim, if you're going to want to say, Epoch, let's flip who says what. Rabba, who says Shibuda Lav Doraisa, is really the one who said Shibuda Doraisa. Epoch, the Rabba La'ula. And do Ula La'Rabba, and say Ula is the one who says Shibuda is not Doraisa. For Amar Ula, but we know the Ula himself says, Dvar Torah from the biblical law, Baal Chov, a person who lent money, Dine Biziburius. He's entitled to take the lowest quality land that the borrower has. Now, since he talks about a biblical law in taking land, that also sounds like Shibuda's Doraisa. So Gemara says, you have to say like this, Rabba holds Shibuda's not Doraisa. That when a person lends money, borrows money, doesn't mean that biblically there's a lien on his land. What did Rabba say? That if the children collect land for the debt of their father, then the Bechor is entitled to a double portion because it had been Murzak. This is something which already was in the possession of father in his lifetime.
That's not what Rabba holds. Rabba time of the Bnei Ma'arava come. He was just saying that's the idea of the Bnei Ma'arava, the people of Israel. But he himself doesn't agree with it. He actually holds that even if what they would collect is land, the Bechor would not get a double portion because there was no biblical shibud. So now it's new money coming in. It was ra'ui to father. It was fit to father. It wasn't mulzak by father. It wasn't owned by father. So the Bechor doesn't get a double portion in ra'ui kibemulzak.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough. Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, Rav and Shmuel both said, Mil Val Peh, alone, that's not in a contract. Eino Gove, you can't collect it. Lomana Yorshim, not from the orphans. Velomana Lakuchos, nor from people who buy land. My time, because Shibuda Lavdo Raisa. A shibud is not biblical. However, Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Lakish Dami Tarvayu, they both hold Milval Pe, even a loan that's not in the contract. Go with Beimin Ayarish and Beimin Alakuchos. You can collect from orphans, and you can collect it from people who bought. My Taima, Shibuda de Oraisa, because they hold shibud is biblical. So, one second, what about our Mishnah? So, the Tosfos Rid says that he changes the girsa. It means they feel govim in ayorshim. They collect from the orphans, but not min alakuchos, not from the buyers. Because, as we said, there was a takana to protect the buyers, so he can't allow them to collect from the buyers. However, the Rashash writes that they're just saying that biblically you should be able to collect from buyers, but as the Mishnah actually says, in actuality, we don't collect from buyers in order to protect the buyers.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Izzy, could you bring Yoel back to my house after
Sure. Driving?
Sure. So Yoel, you'll go home with Izzy. Okay?
Yeah, I'm gonna bring you back.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Jim. Here it's giving you a hair.
Sure.
It's a beautiful.
I guess. What is that? First of the morning. Is this kosher? At what point is it like that?